Welcome to the Tabletop Games Blog topic discussion.
Twist taking. Trick taking games with a twist. I've written about my love of trick taking games and the genre in general many times. Just check the archives. Now that my game group has also gotten into the genre, I've discovered more and more games that take this ancient card game mechanism to new heights. They apply new twists and add different mechanisms to create really exciting new titles. In this article, I want to share with you which ones I'm particularly excited about. The first thing that many modern trick-taking games do is remove the limitation of a fixed player count. While I have grown up with traditional trick-taking games that require a specific number of players, usually 3 or 4, modern games can often be played with a wider range of players. Not only can you play them with only 2 of you, but they often go up to as many as 5 or 6. That flexibility alone is often invaluable. Rather than choosing a trick-taking game based on how many of you there are, you have the choice of multiple games that work as well at a lower player count as they do when the rest of the game group has turned up and there are now more of you. However, modern trick-taking games go a step further. So let me introduce you to a number of games I haven't played yet, but I'm very excited about and tell you why I'm so excited about them. While the player count for Inflation is slightly more restricted, requiring 3 or 4 players, this game introduces a really interesting twist to traditional trick-taking. There is still the concept of suits and having to follow suit. You also have the usual rule where the highest card wins the trick. However, tricks aren't removed once scored. Instead, players keep the card they played in front of them and place the next card they play to the left of it. So in the second trick, everyone will have 2 cards in front of them. The second card represents the tens, and the first card the units. So if you play a 9 in the first trick and then a 1 in the second, you now have a 19. That means someone who played a 1 in the first trick and a 2 in the second, which gives them a 21, beats your 19. The game is supposed to emulate currency hyperinflation as some countries have seen in the past, and it makes for a really interesting twist. So while your low card at the beginning of the round might lose you that trick, higher cards later on can win you future tricks. I can't wait to see how it plays. The trick-taking game Charms twists the mechanism in a very interesting way. It deconstructs the concept of a single card having a value and a suit. Now you have 2 decks of cards, one has only suits, represented by colors, while the other only has numeric values. At the beginning, you play 2 cards from your hand, 1 suit card and 1 value card. In subsequent tricks, you play a single card, either a suit card or a value card. So from trick to trick, you can only change 1 property. I can imagine that the twist creates a lot of new interesting challenges for players. You might have a high value card and a lead suit in your first trick. However, in the next trick, you only have value cards left, so you have to play a lower card and thereby lose a trick. I can see how this game will really mess with veteran trick-taking players' brains, but in a good way. Of course, trick-taking games don't have to just use cards. No Corso Dice demonstrates this beautifully. It adds colored dice into the mix. The colors of the dice match the colors of the cards, and of course, the colors are the suits. Not only that, the game also introduces a drafting mechanism. The dice are rolled at the beginning and then players draft them. You can then play either a card or dice into a trick. The winner of a trick scores 1 point. Once a hand has been played, you can gain bonus points if the last dice you kept back matches the number of tricks won. There's also a way to bet that you won't any tricks to score even more points. I love the idea that the dice values are a way of working towards a specific number of tricks. Given that the dice and number of tricks won are public knowledge, other players can try and thwart you, and either let you win more tricks than you need, or deny you tricks they might have otherwise let you win. At the same time, everyone else also wants to gain points. It sounds like a really interesting twist that adds a lot of new ways of player interaction and table talk, which I love. Of course, trick-taking games don't need cards at all. Using tiles resembling domino pieces is another way of playing that works really well. In fact, people who find it hard to hold cards in their hands might prefer to line up the tiles in front of them on the table instead. Tiger and Dragon is the game I'm thinking of here. I've played it a few times now and will review it in due course, so keep an eye out for that. Rather than being a true trick-taking game, it's more of a ladder-climbing game. In fact, the goal is to be the first player to empty your hand, and depending on the tile you finish the round with, you score a certain number of points. So you could even call it a race game. Once a player reaches a certain point goal, the game ends. It's the sort of game you're better off starting to play after only a very brief introduction, rather than trying to explain all the rules at the start. As you play your tiles, things become clear very quickly. It's also such a wonderfully tactile game. Plonking down chunky tiles is a lot more satisfying than slamming down cards. So now I want to know if you have any favorite trick-taking games. Are there any that have an interesting twist or do something in a different and clever way? If so, what are they? Also, who do you normally play trick-taking games with, if anyone? As always, please let me know on the blog at tabletopgamesblog.com. I'd love to hear from you.
Thank you for listening to this Tabletop Games Blog topic discussion podcast. Please check the description below for links mentioned in this episode, as well as to the written version of this article on the blog. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, give us some stars or leave a review. Please also tell your friends about me, and if you want to offer financial support, check out my Patreon Ko-fi pages, links to which you'll find in the blog at tabletopgamesblog.com. So thank you again for listening, and I hope to see you again soon.
This podcast was made possible by the generous help of my supporters. Roll Patron Sean Newman, Magic Champion John Risley, Castle Guards David Miller and James Naylor, Dice Masters Alex Bardi, Paul Grogan and Robin Kay, and Shining Lights Jacob Davis, Gavin Jones, Sarah Reed and Richard Simpson.